Over the past several weeks, a number of well-known writers have been brought to task for borrowing or outright fabricating facts. Commentator Jake Tapper is a writer himself. He says if you think about it, these cases seem to follow a simple rule. The higher profile the writer, the lower the penalty seems to be for bending the truth.
I almost always enjoy reading the New York Times Magazine, but last November I read a story that was just fantastic. Written by frequent Times contributor Michael Finkel, the story, titled "Is Yusuf Mali a Slave?", followed the journey of Yusuf, a 14 or 15-year-old boy, he wasn't sure of his own age, as he ran away from home in southern Mali and was conned into what can most charitably be called a sort of indentured servitude. The story was the kind every journalist dreams of, powerful and revelatory and beautifully written. It also was a work of fiction. Recently, to their credit, Times Magazine editors brought Finkel's chicanery to light. Finkel, the journalist, and I use the term loosely, has since argued that Yusuf is a composite of several young men from Mali whom he met while writing the story. The composite argument is, of course, the same one used two decades ago when The Washington Post's Janet Cook won a Pulitzer Prize for her story about a young crack addict who also didn't actually exist on this planet. It's nonsense. Would I love to create a composite politician with the lifestyle of a young Ted Kennedy, the respect for the law of Richard Nixon, the war heroism of John McCain, and the syntax of President Bush? Sure, but you can't. Or you can, rather, but when you do it, it's called fiction. You can't entirely fault Mr. Finkel for being the latest to tarnish the legacy of Edward R. Murrow. Well, you can, but while you are, you might want to consider the fact that what seems to matter most when it comes to reporters and historians who disgrace themselves is not the crime, but how established they are. Few have heard of young Michael Finkel, so he, like Cook, may well soon vanish like vapors. But after Boston Globe columnist Mike Barnicle was credibly accused of making stories up, he was given his own column for the New York Daily News and is a frequent guest on MSNBC. Fox News Channel's Gerald Rivera, you probably know him by his stage name, Geraldo, recently told a tall tale about walking on hallowed ground in Afghanistan where three U.S. servicemen had been killed. Geraldo actually was standing hundreds of miles away. Asked about the discrepancy, he said he had confused the location of that tragedy with another tragedy. But that incident had taken place 3 days after Geraldo's report. Geraldo, Gerald, is still on Fox News Channel, still making more coin than most journalists. Now, while you might not expect the highest in journalistic ethics from a man who once liposuctioned fat out of his butt on national television, you do expect some integrity from our revered best-selling historians. But both Stephen Ambrose and Doris Kearns Goodwin have recently been forced to admit, borrowing large sections of other historians' work in their bestsellers. They say they didn't mean to do it, that it wasn't plagiarism or stealing because it wasn't done knowingly. That may well be true, but if that college kid down the street tried borrowing, like Ambrose and Goodwin have done, he'd soon be flipping burgers. Now, Goodwin suffered a temporary setback this week. PBS has discontinued her regular appearances, but her seat on the Pulitzer Prize board is apparently intact. Believe me, a year from now, Goodwin and Ambrose will be more heavily proofread, but they'll be back. I just hope they don't try to borrow anything written by Michael Finkel.
Jake Tapper is Washington correspondent for Salon.com.